Welcome back to the Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. If you missed any part of today's show, you can still go to theawareshow.com. You can download it. Today's show and tomorrow's show, you just click on the archives there and you can download the shows, and you can have access to all the thousands of shows we've done over the past 8 years as well. Just go to our website, theawareshow.com. There's also all of the websites of our guests are on there for today, and all of the past websites too. All right. So do you happen to have or know anybody who has had a scary story or a horror story around childbirth? And it's funny how you kind of you forget it, you move on. But there are people out there that are informing people and empowering women about your options around birth. And if it's not you that is giving birth now, if you already have been through that process or you know somebody else who has, then there are a lot of great choices. There's choices that you have for childbirth. And I'm talking about just a home birth. I'm talking about all sorts of choices within the hospital system. So joining me is Karen Brody. She's the author of Birth, which is a play and a book. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
So tell me a little bit about your birth experience and what made you an advocate for new mothers.
Well, I had both my boys at home in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I actually didn't know much about home birth. I just had a strong instinct that believed that birth is not an illness, and I went with that. And whenever I entered a hospital, I felt that's a great place if you're sick, but I'm not sick. And so I chose to have my babies at home, and I had two transformative experiences, really, that were so impactful to me that when I took my babies to the park when they were young, if they were toddlers, I started to listen to other mothers' birth stories, and I couldn't believe the contrast in their stories to my story. The majority of women were really talking about experiences that I knew nothing about. I was surrounded by three women and my husband when I gave birth in a candlelit room. I didn't give birth in water, but I did labor in water for most of my labor. And then what I heard in the park were women who went into the hospital low risk, suddenly always after having an intervention done, as in receiving an induction drug like Pitocin or an epidural, they suddenly became high risk and their baby's heart rate went up, or whatever the situation was, they either ended up with a C-section or a very unsatisfactory birth. And I was alarmed by this, and I was angered, and I was confused, especially because the women I was talking to, all these women were low-risk, educated women who all had access to choices that are a huge range. I mean, it depends on your community in the United States where you live, but there are always choices available to women, and I couldn't believe that many of these women didn't know about them, or if they did, they certainly didn't think that they were options they were going to explore.
Are you talking about choices within the hospital system also around birth?
Within and with and outside the hospital system. I mean, I think what one of the things that I then began to investigate was, what is it like? By asking mothers what were their experiences like in the hospital, at home, all different types of births. And there are choices in, depending on, again, each community. There are birth centers in hospitals. There are freestanding birth centers. But I think one thing I noticed is not every choice is necessarily a choice, meaning that women have to keep their eyes very wide open to the choices in their community. For example, some hospitals, even if you're delivering with a midwife, you have to know their C-section rate. You have to understand that that midwife's under the rules and regulations of a hospital, and so can't always easily practice midwifery model of care. Having said that, in other communities, midwives in hospitals are very free to practice midwifery model of care. So women have to ask around. They have to find out if there's a birth network near them. These are very easily to get on websites like Lamaze.org. They talk about lots of different birth networks all over the United States.
We did that. We did traditional, I am not traditional, but a hospital birth with a midwife and also a traditional OB. And he was great. The OB was great. And the midwife was really an advocate for me and my husband, because it's really easy to get kind of to give up your seniority to the system, because there's so many things going on and the doctor comes in for 5 minutes, checks you, and then moves on. There's so many other things going on that you, as a mom and about to give birth, have nowhere near the attention span to be an advocate for yourself. Right. And if somebody could be there to help you. But what are some things that you would suggest to people or mothers in the hospital who are about to become mothers to look out for?
When they're entering the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, absolutely, you have to keep your eyes wide open. I bring a doula with you. Again, this is a person who, similar to the experience you had, who was an advocate. I think what a lot of people don't realize is actually that the doctor usually shows up when you're pushing, and perhaps one or two times throughout your labor.
Right.
But if you're lucky, you might have a labor and delivery nurse who has the time to spend some of your labor time with you. But otherwise, you're really on your own unless you bring a doula or you have a midwife who's with you. And so I think women have to understand that. I think women really, to me, before they get into the labor and delivery room, they need to think about this experience and how to embrace the wisdom of childbirth in a way that, if they, you know, I think what we're missing right now in society in general is transformation. You know, that this is something that more and more people, I believe, are going to embrace, but this wisdom of embracing the feminine is not there. And I think the feminine celebrates intuition, emotions, the interior life, and that all ties perfectly into birth, because when we're connected to our interior life, we live from our heart, not our head. And this is exactly, you know, this is exactly true in childbirth. When we can get out of our heads and into our hearts, it's a positive birth experience really awaits many women.
Well, that's one of the things that you, I like the fact that you give tips to people that are really, I mean, very practical and also good reminders. The first one is that trust that childbirth is normal, which is, it's not an emergency. And I like that perspective. It is something that is normal, and birth is normal, and that you can trust in your body that it knows what to do. It's basically not going to keep the baby in, right? It's eventually going to do its thing, and I like what you say. Your body is not a lemon.
This is a quote from Ina May Gaskin. She's a very famous midwife who says, "Your body is not a lemon," and I echo that in my play, and really want women to get that point, which is your body is not a lemon. It's made to give birth.
It knows what to do, mm-hmm, if you listen to it. So tell me a little bit about I want to continue on with these tips, and then I want to talk a little bit about the play. But you say also be bold and explore all of your birth options, because there's a lot of options out there. Do you have a particular pro-home birth, or are hospital births something that you would support as long as you're educated around it? Because not everybody is into home birth.
Well, I think that people, again, this is back to, you know, really going towards your intuition. You know what kind of birth you want, and you have to really make an inner, you know, go through an inner quest to discover what's the right kind of birth for you, and keeping your eyes wide open to the truth about birth today. I mean, I think women have this shock about, you know, again, the hospital system, that they didn't know. Well, I think they should learn about it. They should know and then make the decision that's right for you. There's not one right decision, but I will say something about home birth and really choices that are more of the midwifery model of care. For low-risk women, these are wonderful ways, gentle ways to give birth. that I think aren't being explored enough.
Well, I mean, when you are pregnant, you have these 9 months or whatever to think about that one day of giving birth. I also wish that somebody would give some education about what to do after the birth. You have this baby, what to do with the baby care, how to care for yourself and the baby at the same time. I mean, there's so much that you think about during that gestation period. I understand now why it's 9 months. There's a lot to think about.
Absolutely. A lot is lacking in how we send mothers off from the hospital. And again, no knowledge of what to do
seriously
with the baby. Having said that, when you're with a midwife, and especially a home birth, I mean, my midwives came for 6 to 8 weeks after the birth. So I, who had breastfeeding problems like many women do, especially with their first babies, I was guided by women who came to my home.
Yes,
after
that
the birth.
Key.
And that's a big difference from that. Again, this is what I'm saying about being open to exploring the truth about childbirth, and then go with your intuition, go with your gut.
Well,
but don't close your eyes to the truth.
It's also, I mean, think about the village. There's my in-laws, or I guess my husband's sister. They just moved into this community in Santa Fe, New Mexico, it's a community living lifestyle. And it's kind of the concept of going back to the village, where you have people that are, there's, you know, a community garden and community, not childcare, but places for kids to play where it's safe and all of the other families there are involved and so forth. It's after someone gives birth, there's meals delivered or fresh green juices so that the body can go through its healing process faster. I mean, what a neat idea. And I, for a long time now, have been saying, where's my village? Where did the village go?
And what's wrong with that concept? Because what's interesting is that, you know, it sounds so delicious what you're saying. I mean, why are we doing that for more mothers? And yet it does exist in the home birth movement.
Yeah.
It exists more than ever. And it certainly does not exist when you come out of a hospital, unless you're connected to a church or some other group that actually could provide something like that. But again, postpartum care, which, again, you know, when a woman gives birth, it's not just the pushing, it's not just the pregnancy and the delivery, it's the postpartum is part of her birth experience.
Yes, I was so blessed to have such a wonderful, wonderful doula, Anna Verwal.
Oh, yeah.
Swedish.
Sure.
Oh, I loved her. And
yeah,
she took such good care of me and all the stuff. I mean, she hooked me up with the woman to send me the green juices afterwards, which I violently had to throw up because I had a C-section, but it was just getting all that stuff out. It was just great because it was such, everybody's got their stories, you know, around Booth, but she really made a situation for me, which was, you know, giving birth to a 10-pound baby. She made it as good as it possibly could have gone. Let's talk about that other tip about dropping your very important storylines about birth. That is, my neighbor had a horrible birth, I will too, and I hate pain, and all these types of stories that you have around birth. At some point, you have to drop that stuff and look to the fact that it is a beautiful process.
Yeah, and I think we feed ourselves the fear through stories. And what BOLD, what the organization that I started through my play, wants to do is feed people more through the telling of our stories, but using it as a way to create sisterhood, to create healing, and to really actually not feed the fear of childbirth and all of that.
Tell us about BOLD. It's a movement.
Yeah, BOLD is a global movement that is an arts-based movement that inspires communities to create mother-friendly maternity care. So it's care where the mother is at the center of her birth experience.
Hmm, nice.
And I do this through my play, which is called Birth, and performances and talkbacks in communities. Communities raise awareness, they raise money for local initiatives that are helping to make childbirth more mother-friendly. And we also hold BOLD red tents around the world where mothers come to tell their birth stories. And those are very powerful events.
Well, let's start on the play. Is it playing these days?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the play, our website is boldaction.org, and on the website there are lists of where it's playing. I mean, it's playing everywhere from New York to Bermuda to Vienna, Austria to Paris. and Minnesota, Gainesville, Florida. I mean, it's all over. And
right.
every year people do it. It's very similar to V-Day that does the vagina monologue.
Right, right.
The Theater for Social Change. It started as a Theater for Social Change movement because we have now these red tents as well. It's not just theater, but we embrace the arts in everything we do. We try to educate through the arts because what we really found is that, you know, childbirth education really needs a facelift right now. Childbirth education isn't working for the most part. You know, women, you can tell them there's a 30% C-section rate, but not until they hear the story and see it on stage and see what happens for some women in not just C-sections but other types of birth scenarios do they understand that we have a childbirth crisis going on and we need to do something about it. And when they hear the empowering stories of women who actually walked through their birth baggage.
That's an interesting perspective about a childbirth crisis. Why do you say that?
Well, because low-risk women are going into the hospital and ending up with high-risk deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crisis to me.
What about older moms, you know, when they're 48, 49, 50 years old in terms of giving birth? And I guess anything over 35 is considered high risk, right? And
well,
according to the medical system, I should say.
According to the medical system, yes. I think we, you know, we really have to evaluate what's high risk. And certainly, you know, if you talk to many maternity care providers, a woman who's very healthy, who's age 40, is not necessarily automatically high risk. She could be in better physical health than a 32-year-old woman, depending on many factors, her nutrition, everything else. Now, there are women who are 49 and that, you know, 50 having babies, but not too many. Really, 45 and below, you know, 40 to 45, that there's a lot of women in that category. And some are high risk and some aren't. I think you can't just automatically think
you're
high risk by saying I'm 41 years old. And there's, you know, I've been at plenty of home births of 43, 42-year-old women who are very, very perfectly healthy to have home births.
So can you tell me a little bit about the red tents that are going on around L.A.? So this is a place where women can kind of vent about their childbirth experience and communicate or connect a little bit about that so that they can move through it?
Yeah, it's a place for women to process their birth experiences, however that may be. Some women will come with stories of, you know, empowering stories of really transformative birth experiences, and other women will come with more traumatic stories. And really, it'll often for them be the first time they publicly told their story. Because it's very hard after you have a traumatic birth experience. Everybody says, but you had a healthy baby.
Yeah, so, you tend to overlook that.
Oh yeah, it's mm-hmm. very hard for these. This is a line I get all the time. We get at the Bold Red Tents that, you know, I can't even talk to my husband about this because, you know, I have a healthy baby. I should just be happy. But these memories live with them. And really, I was inspired to do start the Bold Red Tents primarily because of a 63-year-old woman who I met in a circle of women telling birth stories who was had never processed her birth and was 63 years old. And I realized she's not the only one.
Wow.
And
she held on to it that whole time.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to see that in the Wall Street Journal they're now writing about that there is a lot of post-traumatic stress from childbirth. I was very happy to see an article last year in 2008 in the Wall Street Journal because to have a mainstream publication start to legitimize something that we know has been there for a long time. You know, the Bold Red Tents, we see it all the time. We hear it all the time. There's more trauma than you think. And it doesn't mean if you have a C-section you will experience trauma. Not at all. Not at all. But there are women who need healing
now. Your
birth experiences.
I mean, I think it's a great idea, and you're encouraging people to organize their own red tent groups.
Yes, that's what Bold does. We inspire local people in communities. It's very grassroots. It really comes from the bottom up. You know, these women in communities all around the world have just felt that they need to take action and start to create sisterhood in their communities and create a birth community where they support each other and where they create safe spaces for women to tell their birth stories.
So how does someone do that? How does someone go about setting up their own red tent?
They just go to our website, boldaction.org, and they will see all the information. It says how to organize a bold event, and click on it, and they will, you know, be offered the performance or the red tent, and they can click on it and download an application.
That is very cool. Is there anything listed for Los Angeles coming up soon?
There's nothing in L.A. this year that I... there's nothing in LA.
But all over the world, Austria.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Colorado. There's a lot of different places. But at the moment, there's none in LA.
Well, people can start it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a performance in LA a couple of years ago, and I think there was a red tent. There's going to be one in San Diego in September.
Oh, okay. So people,
yeah,
can, but
not
if
far.
But if someone does want to create something like this, I mean, this
absolutely go to the website, and we encourage as many people as possible to, you know, to bring women together to tell our birth stories. I think the reason I started Bold is because we were hearing from everyone about maternity care except the mothers, and I really wanted to give center stage to mothers to tell their stories. I felt like we don't want this generation, all generations, to pass without recording the stories.
After someone does go through that experience of releasing that story and talking about it and so forth, have you seen people make major shifts in their lives as a result
absolutely.
Of that?
Absolutely. I mean, many of them, it allows them to go on, for example, if this was a first birth and they wanted another baby, some of them weren't having second, you know, they weren't able to go that way. And many of them, all they needed to do was release it. And you know, it's liberating.
Is it okay to bring your children to these?
Most of them are very fine with it, depending on the age. You know, usually almost every, I don't go to all of them, but I see photos from many of them, and most of them, women have babies with them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Toddlers, you know, many also have toddlers around, but it's a little harder for the mom to tell a story. And what I love is when mothers bring their teenage girls.
Wow.
We really need to start educating girls. That's what one thing Bold's doing a lot this year is going on to college campuses. And that we're really encouraging more and more organizers to do, to take this to students, to take this to young women and men who really can change the way we give birth in the next generation.
Is the purpose of that to help them understand that birth is a beautiful process? And how do you feel about teenage pregnancy?
Well, I mean, you know, when you're pregnant, you need support. You need choices.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
and,
great.
You know, I mean, and I think that people need to understand what their choices are and be empowered by those choices.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, that would be a great support place for teenagers who are pregnant to get some validation rather than so much scrutiny.
Yeah, well, it's really exciting. This year, I know several of our performances are doing them for large teenage mother populations.
And,
so they're really reaching out to that population.
Well, that's a great idea also. So if you're a therapist or whatnot and you want to create a red tent event for your clients, that's a good idea too. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and the play. I mean, they're bringing the play to these communities because the communities, when the play is done, is really, really focusing on raising awareness. So the play is done, and then there's a talk back afterwards with professionals in the area, including obstetricians. It's not a
midwifery
movement. It's
well-rounded.
It's maternity care, childbirth movement, absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. It's definitely been an inspiring interview. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
All right, and if you want to check out any of today's show and you missed any of it, you can go to theawareshow.com and you can get all of our guests' emails there. Not emails, their websites, and find out what they're up to. And you can also listen to today's show. All that is free. And thank you, Tanya Jenkins, Eunice Salvati, D'Angelo, and everybody at KPFK. And while I am committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.